This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
It is 19 minutes past four.
Em, if there's one thing I really love, it's my regular catch-ups with my psychologist.
Absolutely.
It's been happening for years. I love it. I feel like in some ways it's a bit like an onion. You know, you unpack one layer and, oh, my goodness, then there's something else to unpack and explore.
Yeah, of course.
The thing that I'm learning is, as I go on about myself and the insight I'm getting, and I know you do the same sort of work, is there's a lot of stuff that happens in our earlier years, isn't there? And it shapes our behaviour and our feelings.
Absolutely.
Later on in life. And the reason we're talking about this is because there's a new Netflix documentary. It's called Stutz, and it interviews renowned psychiatrist Phil Stutz about his theories. And one of the theories that is being discussed is that 85% of early therapy gains are simply due to lifestyle changes, which makes it sound really simplistic to me. Well, let's find out about it. And here to unpack these claims is Senior Research Fellow from Deakin University, Wolfgang Marx. Wolfgang, welcome to Joy Drive.
Hi, pleasure to be here.
Wolfgang, can we just tell us a little bit about the documentary to start with and what it explores?
Yeah, sure. So it's essentially a documentary between celebrity actor Jonah Hill and his therapist, his psychiatrist, Phil Stutz. And it's quite an interesting style of documentary in that it's part kind of journey of Jonah Hill going through his, you know, mental health challenges with anxiety and stress and body image and all these sorts of things. But then there's also a, I guess, kind of biographical component that walks through the life of Phil Stutz. But then there's also this interesting component where it walks the viewer through the various frameworks that Phil Stutz uses as a therapist to help his clients. And yeah, as you said, I think about 9 minutes in, he talks about how one of the first things he talks with his clients is about engaging one's life force. And that essentially he breaks down into addressing the things related to your body, which is, you know, our lifestyle factors, exercise, sleep, healthy eating. And he also talks about our connection with other people and our connection with ourselves. And so, yeah, through this documentary, they sort of go back and forth around these various concepts.
So essentially, you know, the combination of what Warren said and what you've just said, that by improving our lifestyles in terms of diet and exercise and, you know, healthy living habits, you can almost see a large positive impact on your mental health. That's the assertion.
Yeah. So, I mean, as you mentioned, Phil Stutz, he says, you know, 85% of what he sees early on is he attributes to these changes in lifestyle. And I guess from, you know, my role as a researcher at Deakin University, I can't necessarily say it's exactly 85%, but certainly we know that there's a whole body of evidence now that shows that changes to our lifestyle, by that I mean exercise, connection with people, our connection to nature and green space diet, all these various factors actually have a really profound effect on our mental health.
Wolfgang, what sort of effect are we talking about for these changes? Because I imagine, like, you know, if you've suffered some sort of trauma just by going to the gym and going for a walk, it's not necessarily going to deal with that trauma that occurred at some point previous in your life. So what sort of things are we talking about in terms of what things can we improve by looking after our health and making these lifestyle changes?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point because, yeah, absolutely. Just by, you know, eating more salads or something is not going to be, a therapy in and of itself to help with, you know, significant trauma in the background or severe mental health and these sorts of things. But I think at least from our perspective as researchers and some of the research that we do, we suggest that we simply view lifestyle interventions as another component of our core mental health therapy. So it's not saying, well, you don't need to do psychotherapy, you don't need antidepressants or medication. We're not eschewing all these things. It's rather to combine various lifestyle approaches to other evidence-based practices like psychotherapy and antidepressants. So we look at it in terms of what we call a stepped care model. So if somebody comes to the GP, they've had, a little bit of a life stressful event lately, but they're not having, severe depression or any of these sorts of factors. Well, perhaps psychotherapy and, an exercise regimen or addressing certain lifestyle approaches might be all that's required. But then, of course, if we take another couple of steps up where we're dealing with someone who has, very severe depression, where it's, treatment resistant to other approaches, these sorts of things, well, then, of course, we need a combined approach that uses, things like antidepressants and these sorts of things. So I guess it's trying to find out where that person is and what the severity and acuity of those symptoms are.
Absolutely. We're chatting to Senior Research Fellow at Deakin University, Wolfgang Marx, about Jonah Hill's Netflix documentary Stutz, which is about renowned psychiatrist Phil Stutz and his theories about early therapy gains. Wolfgang, you've just said it's a kind of combination approach where these early gains with lifestyle change, be it diet, exercise, and combining that with proper psychology and psychiatry is potentially really beneficial. Is the idea of lifestyle changes being an asset to mental health improvement widely accepted by mainstream psychology and psychiatry?
Yes, that's a great question. So, I think in the sort of general public, I think we have this kind of intuitive understanding, well, if I eat better, if I exercise a bit better, then I'll probably feel better. But it's only in the last, say, I'm going to say around the last 10 years, last decade, where we actually have rigorous evidence to support these assertions. So we have now various international guidelines. We have large randomized controlled trials, which we consider the strongest form of evidence to show that various lifestyle components, things like improving dietary quality, exercise in particular, has a lot of research that shows that these can be beneficial components to mental health care. The issue is, though, is that while we have this evidence, there's what we call, I guess, the evidence translation gap, which is something that's very pervasive throughout all research, where essentially it's estimated that there's a roughly 10 to 20 year gap between when we have the research to show that something's effective and when it's actually integrated into the clinical practice. So I think we're kind of in that valley right now where we have some research, but it hasn't trickled into the training and the clinical practice. And that's for a variety of different reasons.
So interesting.
Wolfgang, do you think that we'll get to a point where, we're saying, okay, generally, you eat well, you exercise and you experience nature, you'll definitely feel better and see some improvement. Do you think we'll get to a point where we say, okay, these specific foods are really good for these particular conditions, or, these specific foods improve our gut, microbiome or what have you, which then in turn improves our mental health?
Yes, well, that's definitely the hope, I suppose. So right now, we have a good idea that very broad sort of changes to our diet can be helpful to our mental health, but we're not at that sort of precision level yet where we say, all right, for this person, this is exactly what you need to eat and based on your background and biochemistry and all those sorts of things. But I will say that is exactly where we're moving to. Things like you mentioned that the gut microbiome has opened up a whole research area that's now being explored as a potential target so that we can understand, well, what is it about various dietary components that is effective for different people with different gut microbiome compositions? And so we're already seeing various studies showing that, well, if you have this gut microbiome composition, your response to certain foods in terms of blood glucose will be very different compared to someone else with a whole different gut microbiome composition. And I think that's exactly what we're seeing in mental health care.
Amazing. Wolfgang, question without notice. If someone wanted to investigate the possibility of, potentially changing their lifestyle by diet, exercise, et cetera, is there some resources we can grab?
Absolutely. So if you go to our website, which is the foodandmoodcenter, .com.au, feel free to Google it, the Food and Mood Center. We have designed a online free course that is designed for the general public to learn about the role of nutrition and our mental health and the various sort of hands-on ideas that you can incorporate into your everyday life. And we also have a series of pamphlets and resources that are freely available for you to print out that you can either use for yourself, or you can take with you to the GP and discuss these various approaches and how you might be able to link in with, you know, dietitians and allied health professionals. Amazing. To help with your mental health.
That is fascinating. So that's the foodandmoodcenter.com.au.
That's correct. Yeah.
Fantastic, Wolfgang. Really interesting conversation. Thanks for taking the time to chat with us on Drive.
Always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you. That's Senior Research Fellow from Deakin University, Wolfgang Marx.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.